You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
ISIS sympathizers return to the cyber attack, but once again they concentrate on defacing poorly defended targets of opportunity. Analysts conclude that HR data smuggled out by a disgruntled former ISIS insider are genuine. A new strain of ransomware is observed, but surveys of the threat landscape show that a lot of oldies are still golden. And Apple responds to prosecutors' requests in that other All Writs Act case. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, April 19th, 2016. As the U.S. steps up its cyber offensive against ISIS, hacktivists sympathetic to the jihadist group have resumed their own cyber attacks. Team System DZ, an Islamist hacktivist group based in Algeria, defaced around 80 websites over the weekend. The affected sites were hosted in the UK, the US, France, and Israel, but a substantial fraction of them belong to the government of Richland County, Wisconsin. The attacks are consistent with ISIS's record, hitting poorly defended sites that provide targets of opportunity. It's the third time in a little more than a year, for example, that Richland County has suffered website defacements at the hands of what CSO characterizes as script kiddies. You may recall the recent defection of an ISIS member who carried away on a USB drive what essentially amount to the caliphate's HR records. The U.S. Military Academy's Combating Terrorism Center has worked through the data on that drive and concluded that they're genuine. The defector, who's going by the name Abu Mohammed, said initially that he broke with ISIS over his disillusionment with the group's claim to be genuinely Islamic. Too many Ba'athist alumni with no discernible religious commitment. A serious challenge facing organizations these days is how to appropriately allocate limited resources, balancing your assets against the potential damages a cyber attack could inflict. Chris Morgan is CTO at Iconow, and we asked him to give us some perspective on quantifying cyber risk.
I think people are wrestling with how do they measure actually the business value of their assets against potentially a cyber risk position. So one of the things that we have been looking at doing and helping organizations with is measuring the business value within their assets themselves, and then helping those organizations kind of understand, based on those assets, where the potential risk is from a vulnerability prioritization perspective.
Quantifying cyber risk can seem complex, but Chris Morgan has some practical advice for organizations looking to explore the process.
In looking at their cyber resiliency plans, coming up with, you know, just a few key metrics that they specifically would want to look at and measure quarter by quarter, those improvements. So specifically things like IOC matching against the assets. But also looking at IOC matching against the assets against the business value. So some measurement of confidence against that business value of the asset, so that basically you can instill in security operations a way for the analyst to make smarter decisions. Ultimately, that's what you're trying to achieve, is making your analyst make the smartest decision possible based on the limited information they have. And the only way to do that really is looking and measuring the type of workflows that are required to do that.
That's Chris Morgan from Iconow. Their website is iconow.com. Proofpoint reports that it's found a new ransomware variant, CryptXXX, which it's traced to the criminal group behind Reviton. CryptXXX is being dropped by the Angler exploit kit. The GOSNIM double-headed financial malware being tracked by IBM Security is apparently enjoying a successful run, netting some $4 million from U.S. and Canadian banks. Litigation over privacy continues, even now that the U.S. Department of Justice has withdrawn its request that Apple help decrypt the San Bernardino jihadist iPhone. In a related All Writs Act case surrounding a New York meth trial, Apple has responded to the government's demand for assistance by claiming that prosecutors have failed to show that they require Apple's help. And Microsoft has cited EU privacy laws in its refusal to give U.S. authorities requested data that reside in Microsoft's Irish servers. Optio Labs' Bill Anderson has offered the CyberWire his perspective on the issues surrounding such legal disputes. While it surely makes sense under many circumstances that the government would not want subjects of investigation to know that they're under surveillance pursuant to a criminal inquiry, where, he asks, does the process end? How, for example, does one return from being a person of interest to being an ordinary citizen again? Are we all, he asks, to be subjects of investigations forever? And finally, in news of a law firm breach not involving Mossack Fonseca, a disgruntled former insider at Locklord LLP has been sentenced to 7 years and a fine of $1.7 million on his conviction of 2 counts of illegally accessing and damaging the firm's networks in 2011. And thus we end with one bit of best practice recommendation. Do pay attention to security when you outprocess employees. In this, at least, the good guys seem to enjoy an advantage.
Hey everybody, today I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero trust AI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
I'm joined once again by Marcus Roschecker. He's the Cybersecurity Program Manager at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security, one of our academic and research partners. Marcus, we recently saw the release of a draft of a bill called the Compliance with Court Orders Act of 2016. So far, the reaction to this bill has not been positive.
That's true. We did see this new crypto bill coming out and being proposed. I think, generally speaking, I think the bill is a response to the encryption issue that we've seen in the legal battle between Apple and the FBI. Certainly, as you recall, there was this encryption issue and this issue about whether or not the FBI or law enforcement in general could compel a private company to assist the FBI in unlocking an encrypted phone. As you might also recall, the central legal issue in that battle between Apple and the FBI was whether or not this old All Writs Act of 1789 could be used to authorize the law enforcement to compel Apple to provide technical assistance. So I think this crypto bill is a direct response to that question. The crypto bill that's being proposed by Senators Feinstein and Burr would make it very clear. It would require private companies to help law enforcement provide information or data that's unintelligible, i.e. encrypted, and provide that information or data in an intelligible way to law enforcement pursuant to an authorized judicial order.
And the reaction has been overwhelmingly negative. I mean, even the White House has said they don't support the bill. How could they have released a draft of a bill that seemed to be so tone deaf to the realities of encryption as we know it?
You know, it's unclear why this bill would be proposed in this way. That seems so obviously controversial and would seem like it would get a lot of opposition right from the get-go. But I think the bill is a first step in trying to address this encryption issue. And I think to a lot of people, this bill seems to be a straightforward way of addressing that issue. Again, if the issue here is whether or not law enforcement can compel someone or some organization to provide technical assistance pursuant to a judicial order, then certainly this bill would provide the most straightforward way for law enforcement to get that assistance.
So it may just be a matter of whether they have the right to request something, regardless of whether that is technically possible.
I believe so, yes. I mean, law enforcement doesn't want to live in this dark space where they can't get access to information that they might need in a law enforcement investigation. So the question really is, how do we best address this issue? I think there are legitimate reasons on both sides, but it's going to require a solution that's a little more nuanced than what is being proposed by this crypto bill here.
Marcus Roschecker, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.